Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
That we speak glorify God because it is the breath of God that we're speaking with. If we have things in our lives that are distracting and we say things that are just not glorifying to God, it is such a waste of an opportunity to actually bring Christ into a moment. So Father, we say yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. You breathe through us and let us breathe things out that glorify you. We don't have to walk around weird. We don't have to walk around strange and saying weird things in moments where people are in the world are looking at us like, what is wrong? Are you religious? Not. Well, everything you speak, though, can glorify God. Everything I speak should glorify the Father. That's what Jesus said his life was about. I came to please him. Everything Jesus did, he said, pleases the Father. So, Father, in Jesus' name, let it be that everything, every breath that I take, I recognize that it's a gift from you. Because when that breath ends, I step into your presence, and that's an even greater gift from you. Everything, the life here and the life to come, is an amazing life. It's an amazing, just thought of the presence of God. We don't have to wait till there. We can experience him here. So Father, pour into us so that we can say, oh God, we praise you. Pour into us so that we can say, God, everything that we do, we want to glorify you. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a huge, huge hand. Well, welcome to St. Charles River Church. If you have not been here before, we are so thrilled that you are here. Know that. But welcome if you've not been to SCRC in the past. We are excited that you're here. We are just upon, returning from our Panama missions trip. But we are so excited to be back. It was an amazing trip. Everybody that survived it and made it this morning, stand up so that we can welcome you back to SCRC. Come on. We are excited that you guys are here. We had some first-time guests, first-time ministers on our trip, because everybody's a minister. That's what we teach. Everybody's a minister at SCRC. We had some first-time ministers that went with us, and they were amazing, and we're going to tell all those stories on that Sunday. So today this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's what God's Word says. So repeat after me. This is the day the Lord has made. And I will rejoice, and I'll be glad in it. I actually believe that this morning. I really do believe that about you. Thank you for loving people the way that you do. Thank you for loving us the way that you do. Our family, we are just blessed. We are blessed. When we come home, it is an amazing thing to come back to our church family. Hey, one of the guys that we brought on our trip is none other than Pastor Rex Bornman. He was my mentor for all of the years in my early ministry. He's sitting right here to my left. Rex is one of the hardest workers I've ever seen. It is amazing to me, real leadership, how real leadership can actually become part of those who are being led. And I've never had anybody model it better than Rex Bornman. When we go on our trips, he becomes one of our church family. He is one of our church family, and he just gets in there and he works hard. And so I appreciate watching this guy because he models it on the field. We come to work hard and to love. We love hard and we work hard. And so that is precious to me. I asked him this morning if he would come and just share what he is doing again. He's going to be staying with us this week. He's making some contacts in the area. He is a U.S. missionary now, and I'm not going to take the time to tell about his story. I want you to come, Rex, and just kind of share what you're doing. And come on up here, buddy. Love you.
Can I be down here?
You can be wherever you want to go, buddy. Love you. Go wherever you want to go.
What did poor Jesus do without microphones? Doesn't it make you wonder? No, I just, I wanted to stand down here for just a moment just because, Barry is so gracious. Pastor Barry is very, very kind to me to allow me over the years to kind of maintain a connection, with this area, the St. Charles area and all of the kind of church family that I've built relationships with over the years. It's just a real privilege and an honor, and I really want you to understand that this is a great church in terms of caring about the right things. You know, it is. It's just a good group of people to associate with, and it is always a joy to me to be able to spend any time, and especially on the mission field, if we get the chance to go off to Panama or Guatemala or wherever it might be to be together. Team was excellent. Everybody did just such a marvelous job. So huge congratulations. Make sure that you tell everybody about it. Make sure that you get the pictures of all the people who have gone. And make sure that you kind of clear your calendar now for whatever the next time is when a trip comes up. Because you'll want to do that. You really are. You're either a mission field or you're a missionary. Can I say that again for you? So you get that? You're either a missionary, someone involved in the ministry of the Lord, sharing the faith and the grace of Christ, or you're a mission field, someone who needs to hear this. And then once you move out of the mission field, you move into the world of the missionary. Well, my wife and I now are actually formalized missionaries in the U.S. And as I mentioned before, I just want to update you. We are focusing on helping churches in the cities of the United States of America reach the international population that's moving in. I don't know how well you are aware of this, but there is this massive change in the demographics of the United States of America. We are quickly moving in the next 25 years to becoming a minority-majority country. And what that means is there are going to be just as many Asians as there are Hispanic, as there are white in the United States of America by 2045. And that is a huge, that is something that no law, no immigration, nothing is going to stop that from happening. It's already happening. And I just think the church ought to be prepared to help to harvest there. We rightfully spend hundreds of thousands and over the years have spent millions of dollars to send people all over the world to preach the gospel. We just spent a last week with Bob and Mary Gunn, two people who have invested 40 plus years of their lives living in and among the Bugladi people of an Indian group, native to Panama, just to learn the language. And you imagine the sacrifice, the investment, the time and the energy that has to be given to do something like that. I think it's well worth it. The value of one person, the value of reaching somebody with the gospel of Christ. Imagine the joy of giving somebody a chance to read the scripture in their own language. I mean, I just think that's huge. But now we have the nations moving here. And that gives us an unprecedented opportunity. We don't have to spend bajillions of dollars. You could walk down the block. 2, 3, 4 houses in my neighborhood. It's a newly built neighborhood in the south side of Fort Worth, Texas. And it was just the area we moved into. We felt the Lord had led us there. And we it was a house available and we wanted to move quickly and get on this ministry and get started. And so, we jumped into this house and, we didn't even wait to raise funds for it. We just decided to jump in because the Lord had opened the door and here we were. And, as things happen. Anybody ever moved into a new neighborhood? There's always junk laying around. But the good news of new neighborhoods is there always is dumpster somewhere. You know, they're everywhere. Everywhere there's a building project. And between our house and the next house that we could see, there were three lots that were being built. And so being developed. And in the developing of those three lots, they put this massive dumpster out front. Well, that's a marvelous thing when you've just moved. Because, you have all these extra boxes and all this junk and you don't want to just wait till the trash service comes. There's a dumpster. But you always feel a little bit like you're violating the law. And so you sneak over to the dumpster. And as I was sneaking over to the dumpster and putting it in, I got caught by the neighbor, the one other guy who lived on this part of the block. And he popped out of his house and he said, "Hey, are you the new neighbor?" I said, "I am." And I'm using a dumpster. He said, "Me too." And he came out and dropped something in. I tell you that to tell you his name is Lubanzagio Mora. Lubanzaggio Mora. He is an Angolan refugee. In my neighborhood, there are probably 10 nations, depending on which way you want to walk around. And that's not an unusual thing in the United States of America. Here's the good news, by the way. Luba, we call him Luba because nobody wants to pronounce Lubanzaggio too many times. Luba goes to the church that we have found and attend sometimes. He is a spirit-filled, fully committed believer in Jesus Christ. God has blessed him, saved him, really powerfully provided for him. He is a wonderful success story and a tremendous partner in the ministry as we move forward. I just want you to know God has put us in the right place at the right time with the right message, and I think for the right season. Have you ever been in a place where you just have all these things kind of come together? I think that's the doing of the Lord. I think because he knows the end from the beginning. This is the reality. He is wanting us to harvest among the nations. That's what we're committed to. And so I just wanted to bring you an update on that. Things are really moving well. There are task forces being developed right now in many of the cities in the United States of America, certainly among the Assemblies of God. I have to go back regularly now, even though I'm fundraising. I have to go back regularly because we have all these task force meetings in the North Texas District. The 600 churches in North Texas District, the Assemblies of God have committed to every one of them having an Hispanic fellowship, number one, and to at least half of them having another ethnic fellowship that they're starting to host on their campus. How cool would that be if that could happen everywhere across the cities of the United States of America? Well, that's what we're doing. We're excited about it. Thank you so much for your partnership. You've been so kind to give us offerings in history. There are a couple of people in this church already that support us, on a kind of a once a month basis. That's huge to us. We absolutely cannot do this ministry if somebody doesn't partner with us, you know, because we spend all our funds right up front to get down there. So it's really critical to do that. And honestly, if you would give some consideration to that, I would love to chat with you more about it. I'll be back at a little table in the back. I've got some information. I've even got pledge forms. How precocious of me to have brought them. But there are simple ways that you can get on board. And honestly, if I could find 40 or 50 of my friends across America to just give me pretty much the price of a phone bill, which is about $100 a month, I could stop fundraising and just go home and be there full time and go to work and do the kind of thing. So I'm not trying to pressure you about that. Your family, your friends, your people that care, not just about me, but I think about the harvest and about the things of the kingdom of God. And if you would like to talk to me more about that, I would love to chat with you. Continue to pray for us. We're excited about what God's doing. We're excited about this partnership. We're always excited to be a part of the St. Charles River Church family. So thank you, Pastor Barry.
You are welcome. I said, are you ready to get into the Word?
Yes.
We are excited to be back at SCRC this week. But it was an amazing trip. You know, let me just share this with you. You guys are generous. The heart of this church is the heart of God. And I've seen that now for 18 years. And every time new families come in, and several families are away today, but the families God sends in, And the ones that stay, I'm going to just tell you, as the Lord has shown to me, that you all are a generous people. And you sent 20-some-odd people to Panama. Now, if I can't find a word today, notice something. Gina is in Dallas, or has been in Dallas, so she'll be back today. And just know, if I need a word, be generous with the words. Okay? You understand? I look to Gina to help fill in the words. Ladies, do you understand what I'm talking about with your husband? So help me today generously to give me the words. And if I call, like I did a few weeks ago, if I call Isaiah Jehoshaphat, be patient with me. Okay? Because I've got a little jet lag going today. I told the whole Isaiah story and used Jehoshaphat's name. It was a wonderful transition that I did a few weeks ago. So I had just gotten back and I was a little bit tired. And so don't worry. I know it's Isaiah. Because especially if I'm quoting from Isaiah chapter 6, I do know it's Isaiah. It's like, you know, those who want to tell the story of Noah, and they keep saying, when Moses built the ark, y'all know we're talking about Noah here, right? You know, that man's teaching false doctrine. No, the man just got wrong names. When I used to go to my grandmother's house, and my dad would walk in, she'd start with, now Marvin, J.R., Calvin, she'd start with the list of names till she finally got the right son. You know what I'm talking about. So, Be generous with words today because the Father is generous. We serve a generous God. He loves us generously. He loves hard. We love one of the moments with Kaysen, when Kaysen was just starting to kind of have that personality. We realized something. He hates leaving his people. He's got his people, you know. And when Kaysen's people are around, he's in heaven. And when Kaysen, and it's time to, he realized what bye-bye meant. It means vamanos. It means you're going somewhere and he ain't going to be with you. And he cried hard and hugs hard. You know what that looks like, right? If you got grandchildren especially, you'll know what that looks like. So he loves hard. And this was Darrell's phrase, his daddy's phrase. He loves hard. He loves hard. God loves hard. He does. Look at this. This is God, you know, the God that wrote and gave to John this amazing, well-known scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so whosoever believes in him, they're not going to have to perish. They can actually spend eternity with him. That is loving hard. Amen. I'm going to pay the ultimate price. And I'm going to show you, I'm not going to just tell you, I'm going to show you how much I love you. And he gave generously at the cross 2,000 years ago. What Christ went through was a generous sacrifice. It's the heart of God to pour out on us total generosity, the spirit of, I give you everything, and I'm going to share that with you in just a minute. But this scripture that hangs over our head every Sunday says it profoundly about us being Jesus to the world. Now, it says in John 13, 34, a new command I give you, love one another. I mean, this is the kind of the 11th commandment here. That's what I've embraced this phrase as, the 11th commandment. The same God that gave the first 10 said a new command. He knew exactly what he was saying when he said that. And that, by the way, ticked off a lot of the religious of the day. Because he was speaking in reference to the original 10 that were given to Moses. And he said, a new command I give you today, as I have loved you, you must love one another. In other words, the way I love generously towards man, and you'll see that when I die on a cross, but even more so when I rise from the dead and I give life to you eternally, generously, you'll see that kind of sacrifice of I'm just giving you everything. How many of you have grandkids? Have you ever walked through a shopping center with your grandbaby? Baby, whatever you want. Whatever you want. You just go ahead. It's okay if mommy said you can't have it. It's okay. You're with grandma today. That's what you grandmas do. You just become the heart of God with your grand. Because I do the same thing. Hey, buddy, what do you want today? Sissy. I call her sisters because he calls her sisters. He doesn't say sissy. He says, she's my sisters. And so we all call her sisters. Hey, sisters, what do you want? And Megan's like, Mom and Dad, you're going to absolutely spoil them. Fully intentionally. And then you take them home. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. That's why they call us grand parents. It's a grand experience. It's grand. I'm not responsible for them. I just love them. And those hugs are, that's the relationship. This loving hard thing that God does, he pours through us and gives us the privilege of going and being missionaries to the entire world. All of us being ministers of the gospel. We administer the healing. We administer the healing. It's called love. It's called value. Some of you went into Kirundu just this week. Some of you went into this barrio that is absolutely, I mean, it's coming back now. I mean, there are good things that are happening in it now, but many of you are pouring into these young people in this little Kirundu school and Untos Podemos, which means together we can. It's Bob and Mary Gunn's heart. It's the love of God being reached out or given to the people of Kirundu. These little children that are coming to school, is it 1 through 8 now? What is it? 1 through 8 now? And every year they add another grade. Every year it goes up to the next grade. And what they're doing, they're teaching them the gospel. It's not just teaching them, they're not just teaching them the ABCs and math and, you know, it's not just that. They are actually putting in their hands the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are learning English by reading the Bible. That's their English class. Elizabeth from Houston, Texas, went down there, poured out herself, this educator, retired educator, Mary Ellen, like Mary Ellen as well. Mary Ellen met Elizabeth, and this lady flies from Houston, Texas with a group, falls in love with giving generously. There is something, what's the word say? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Why? Because generosity is the greatest person being blessed is the one generous. The one that's actually sacrificing or giving. There's a blessing in that. It pleased the Father that Jesus was sacrificed for you and for me. That there's something in that. You see, He gained us. He gained you and me. And we have the privilege of going and loving people 4,000 miles away from here. And some of you, I watched you on the first day. Some of you arrived the first day and you were sizing it up. And it was about a little more of the project, even though we know you love people. That wasn't the question. It's just a matter of sizing up the building, sizing up kind of the language barrier, sizing up the project I'm going to be working on. You should have seen generously, you know, all know the story of Mitzi, right? I've told you the story of Mitzi. And so I get to tell a little bit my story today of what I saw, because the others are on the day of Panama. They're going to get to tell their story. But today I watched three ladies in particular. I watched Mary Ellen, I watched Teresa, and I watched Donna. And they were at this table, the eyeglasses table, and they're trying to get this system set up, and they're thinking about the system for, and that's what I needed you to do. I needed a system set up, and I don't micromanage, but you guys developed, it took a few days to get the system well, and it's something you felt good about. But all of a sudden there's a little girl walks in, her name's Mitzi. She's about, what'd she say, 20? 21, 22 now, and if you know the story of Mitzi, I won't recap it, but she was a street girl. Raised right there in Corundu, no parents, raising her siblings. Mitzi has got this connection to this church now as a result of when we started going there. We've watched her grow up, and I wanted to make sure that Mitzi didn't hang around me all week. Gina wasn't there, so I needed a lady or two or three to actually kind of step in to be Mitzi's people, if you get my drift here. Okay, I didn't, because Mitzi would just stay there and hang around, because she calls us mom and dad. She actually WhatsApps Gina once a week, twice a week, three times a week, and the girls are always in contact with Mitzi, so she's kind of an adopted family member down there, and we love to bless her and do things for her. Well, I needed some ladies to kind of come in and be the connect point this week. And so there's these three ladies that are at this counter, and I went over to them and I said, look at me just for a second. If you guys would be her kind of her mentors this week, if you guys would take her, ladies would take her under your wing this week, pour into Mitzi. And I'm telling you, this girl's brilliant. She's absolutely brilliant. She'd been a bartender in major hotels down in the city. She went on to do some dental hygiene school, and she had to drop out because of lack of money. The girl's a brilliant girl, and she sits there, and these ladies are pouring into, where did Teresa go? They had to go. Okay. These ladies are pouring into Mitzi. They are loving Mitzi hard. Get that. They are loving Mitzi hard. And I'm watching Mitzi from a distance. Every time I would come back in, I would run errands for the medical or whoever it was. And I would come back in and I would walk right by Mitzi. And normally, if I'm in the building, she tries to find her way over because she's got a couple kids, and we do bless her at times. This is kind of a natural thing, a dad thing there. And so, but I'm watching Mitzi. She never left that table because I walked in. Because these ladies, you see, Mitzi needs love from women. You see, men have abused her. And I won't go any more specific than that. Men have abused her. She's a beautiful young lady. Men have abused her. And she, when you ladies tell another, let's face it, when a woman says to another woman, you are beautiful. That's just like a moment for you. It captures your heart because that woman gave unselfishly the compliment that all of us would like to have other people say that we look nice. And there's no dog in the race when another woman is saying it to the woman. You get that? There's no dog in the race. There's nothing to benefit. That's all about loving generously and pouring into and giving value. And that's what I saw these ladies do all this week. They just loved on. And then the other children and the other children's children and it just kept going on. I had one team member, and I probably won't address it on this particular day. I had one team member that heard Mitzi's story. And by the way, Gina sent a message with me this week, and she said, "You tell Mitzi she needs to explain why she hasn't answered my WhatsApp in a month and a half." Got Jacqueline to interpret, and I asked her point blank, "Mama wants to know why you aren't answering her WhatsApp." And she said, "My phone was crushed. Somebody crushed my phone. They broke my phone a month and a half ago." I believe that because she hadn't been seen on WhatsApp in a month and a half. And that's their form of communication down there, not texting. It's WhatsApp. Everybody uses WhatsApp down there. And so I said, "Oh, that's," and so one of our team members heard that conversation. And it was so touched his heart. It so touched him deeply. He came over to me and said, "I want to ask your permission to buy her a cell phone." I said, "Dude, I'm not asking you to do that. I don't want you. No, I really feel like God is just pressing it on me. I want to meet this girl's need." Because this is how they communicate. If she's going to get a job, it's because, I mean, they don't have public telephones down there. You understand what I'm saying? This is a lifeline for making a living somehow. This is a lifeline. And so this gentleman, long story short, I looked at him and I said, "You really feel like you're supposed to do this?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Okay, but we're going to put a limit of $200 on the cell phone." And he said, "Okay, I'll do that. I promise you." So long story short, at the end of the week, when we're standing there, we went shopping for a cell phone, and she is just taken back. She doesn't know him, and he's just loving generously. He's loving generously. And so I explained to her that there was a $200 limit. No mas. 200. No mas. And she said, "Okay." And she started looking, and she's looking into the glass booth there, the kiosk, and she's looking. The $800 phones are down here. The $39 phones down here. And everything in between in the right order. And she starts, and she's doing this. She points at the $39 phone. This guy just, tears welled up in his eyes. I said, "Does she not understand?" I said, she didn't want to take advantage of you. She just didn't want to take advantage of you. You see, you're giving. The generosity of his heart just touched her so deeply. It just pierced her. Love hard. It pierces people. It does something inside of them. There's a humility and a straightening out of the character. There's a realization that somebody loves me so much that they're willing to sacrifice like that. And she's looking, and she looks to see if the $39 one is okay. She's going, that's all I need. And he said, "No, no, no." And he bumps her back up to the middle of the, and he bumps her to a $350 phone. Oh, you know, you could just see in her eyes this, "Oh no, no." And so she goes down here and she picks the $79 phone. And he's, "No, you're not getting this. I want to do something nice." Isn't that what the Father says? We're sitting there asking measly stuff. And he said, he's the one who said, "Ask in my name, anything you ask in my name, it'll be given to you." Now there's the whole "in my name" thing that we'll deal with just for a second. It's like me going out in the middle of the street and saying, "Stop in the name of the law," you know, out on 40. Yeah, exactly. I don't have the authority to stop traffic. I didn't come in the name of the law. It isn't about saying "stop in the name of the law." That's not it at all. But that's what many do who claim "in the name of Jesus," and they don't walk in the name of Jesus. They don't abide in the name. They don't abide in him. So when he says, you all get what I'm talking about? When Rick goes out and he decides to stop the traffic, he does it with the authority of all of O'Fallon behind him, the people of O'Fallon. He goes with the authority of the governor and the legislature of the state of Missouri and the Constitution of the United States, which is made up by the people and of the people of the... He's got the entire nation behind him because he's come in their name. Stop in the name of the law. He is authorized. When we come in the name, Jesus said, anything you ask in my name, anything you ask in my name, if you're in my name, I love those people. Just say, oh, I know you're scared of that little demon thing. Just say, in Jesus' name, you gotta go. Just say it. Are you, what? Really? No, it is about having the authority in him. Get that. It isn't just about these magic words. He's the one who said, many will say, I cast out demons in your name. And what will he say? Depart from me, I never knew you. Depart from me, I never knew you. So listen, catch this amazing thing. When we come in the name of Jesus, he's telling us, ask largely. This brother's standing there saying, come on, I want to give you something really good. And she's like, but I can't, it's hard, it's too good to be true. This is too good to be true. And finally, he points up to a little more expensive phone, $148 phone. And she goes, okay. She didn't even take it to the $200 phone. She was okay. And she looks at me like, is it okay? I said, yes. Sí. Es bueno. Es bueno. And she turns around. Oh, by that time I named him Grandpapa and I gave his first name. He's got this young lady. Oh, thank you. Muchas gracias, gracias, gracias. And she's teary-eyed, and he is bawling like a blubbering baby. It was amazing. And this little girl's got her baby on her side. Her name's Carla. Mitzi's got her baby Carla with her. And this is what happens when giving gets inside you, when generosity lights you, and you start loving hard, and you are free to love like Jesus loves. He looks at me, he says, can I buy something for that baby? I said, yes. But we got to get back. Yes, we can go shopping. So we go walking through the Albrook Mall. It was my only visit, really, I think, to Albrook Mall, except for to buy inhalers and different things, whatever it was I was purchasing for the medical. Yeah, fill the words in. So I'm walking Mitzi and this brother through the mall, and we go to this little children's clothing shop. And I said, dude, they won't let me walk in with this. I got the cell phone now. Package, right? They won't let me walk in. They don't, down there, they don't let you walk into a store with previously purchased packages. And so I stood there and I said, I'm out here, buddy. I'm trusting you with my girl, my daughter here. You take her in there and set a limit, be reasonable, and come back here in no more than 15 minutes. He said, I'll be back. So strutting through that store, this guy's strutting through that store. He just, cause he got it in him now. Generosity. You know something? The Father is, he just wanted to be generous to us. He's so proud of you. He loves you. He adores you. He has given everything for you. And this guy is also a father of a couple of young ladies and a son. And he's just strutting around through that store, and he comes out. I lose sight of him, and I'm like, oh Lord Jesus, is this a mistake? I mean, I actually lost sight of them, and I'm like, in this clothes store. I'm thinking, Lord Jesus, how long will they be in there? Because I don't know if he's got his phone on him or not. There's all kinds of things I'm thinking. And here he comes, about 12, 13 minutes later, out. He's carrying a dress. He's carrying the little bag with the purse and matching shoes. Big dude. I said, dude, you look pretty. You look awfully pretty. He said, Don't say a word. Just don't. And he's smiling and big tears in his eye. Don't say a word. Just don't say anything. I said, no, it's cool. You are just delighting me because, you know, you value who I value. When you love others in my name, you're valuing who I value. Get that. You and I, Pastor Rex said it a few minutes ago. Pastor Mike said it in the last couple of weeks. You're all ministers. We're all here to, Pastor Rex said, we're missionaries. We're either being ministered to or we're ministering to people. And if there's anything in between, I haven't found it here. But the privilege we get of going and giving value to who he values. When you ladies gave value to Mitzi this week, I can just imagine the Father's pleasure all week long of watching ladies who have no dog in the race with this little girl named Mitzi, who had a really rough, wretched, horrible lifestyle. By the way, no judgment there. She's feeding her family, feeding her babies. No judgment there. Because I'm going to tell you, the deal in life she was given is a wretched deal. And she is doing what she knows she can do to put food in her baby's mouths. But then God says to Mitzi's of the world, but I'll send. What did Jesus say? Pray the Lord of the harvest will send out workers. Because the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Who sent us? God sent us in the name of Jesus. And when we start giving and generously pouring into people, we're doing just that. We are valuing who He values. Bow your heads with me. Will you? Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to pour into us generosity, that spirit of generosity that is so who you are. It's the essence of who you are. I ask you, Father, so awaken us to that spirit of generosity in the name of Jesus Christ, that we would so amazingly fall in love with those you are in love with. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And every believer said, amen. God bless you guys. Give the Lord a huge, huge hand, generous hand.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.